bring in Paul Schwartz. He's our guest today, of course. You can find him at the New York Post. Paul, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live. Obviously, you're on with Anita Marks and Paul Dottino. Welcome in today.
Paul, good to talk to you. How are you?
Growing up, I kept on hearing Anita and Paul, Paul and Anita, Anita and Paul, Paul and Anita. So it's the Anita and Paul or the Paul and Anita show, whichever way you guys have to hash that out.
She can get top billing. She's the star.
It's all good. It's all good. Obviously, we started the show with the news here at the Giants facility that Josh Gordy, free safety, as well as Ryan Jones, linebacker, were signed by the organization. And as I'm sure you were just listening in before we brought you on, as Dottino was saying, like, these are the guys at the back of the roster who's going to come on board and try to make a name for themselves and win a spot. Agree with that, Paul?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Giants are doing a lot of bottom feeding this offseason, you know, filling in depth for the guys they lost. I think these two, especially, well, I mean, Jones is just a guy who's, you know, going to be a camp guy, and we'll see what he has. He hasn't played in the NFL, but, you know, Gordy has been in the NFL. Spags, as you mentioned, Steve Spagnuolo knows him, so the fact that they signed him means he must like him. But, you know, he did not have a good year last year, Gordy, in coverage, gave up 4 touchdowns, so... You know, this is a guy who's going to have to come in and impress the coaching staff and make the team. This is, you know, not a signing that you say, well, in September we're going to see this guy on the field.
Hey, Paul, I have to ask you something because, you know, in all the years that you and I have both been doing this, you've been around this team for a long time too, it's not often that they go into a draft with a glaring hole on the depth chart like they have at free safety on this year's team. I mean, really, they're reaching if they think that Shockey Brown can maybe project. They're reaching if they think that maybe Bennett Jackson can project. They don't have legitimate free safety on this roster right now. It's a big gap on the roster. Doesn't happen very often. Does that surprise you? And, of course, going into the draft, do you think that's a dangerous thing for them to do?
Well, it does surprise me. It reminds me a little bit, guys, like last year with tight end. I mean, tight end was a glaring need, I thought, glaring. And you know, they stuck to their guns, and Larry Donnell ended up having a pretty good year, certainly as a pass catcher. And, you know, Daniel Fells was okay as a blocker. And, you know, Jerry Reese, every day people kept asking, what are you going to do with tight end? What are you going to do with tight end? And he basically did nothing at tight end. Now, you know, having said that, right, taking a guy who's a cornerback and then making him a safety is not what you want to do. You know, Nat Beret is a guy they like, but, you know, he's really a strong safety, I think, even though he's not that big. You know, when you have a guy like Antrell Roll, who played every down and every game and every practice and every OTA and every everything for so long, and then you don't have a natural replacement, you know, maybe they'll re-sign. Stevie Brown's still unsigned, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so maybe at some point after the draft they go get him. You know, I'd be shocked if they go in the first round and take a safety. I'd be shocked at that. I don't think there's safeties there who are considered the value at number 9. I don't think that's the direction you want to go unless you're getting the next Ronnie Lott, and I don't think that coming out of this draft. So, you know, I imagine Jerry Reese has something up his sleeve. I just don't know if it's a safety.
Again, Paul Schwartz joining us from the New York Post. Paul, I feel like each and every week everybody's kind of mock draft changes. I'm sure you have one on your mind that you think what players might fall to the Giants at 9. Sitting here today, and I'm sure it will change prior to that Thursday night in Chicago, who do you have right now in your mock draft falling to the Giants at 9? Who do you think they take, Paul?
Well, I've not done a mock draft quite yet. But, you know, I think, you know, and I know Paul, you know, will probably, you know, drive down to Long Island and buy me a slice of pizza if this is true. If they take the, you know, the offensive lineman out of Iowa, you know, Scherff. Now, I don't think it's a no-brainer, you know what I mean? And I don't think it's oh, yeah, you just plug him in, because I think he's a guard. And I'm not that comfortable taking a guard at number 9. I think he can play tackle, but I think he's at 9, I think he's a great value at if he was a tackle. I don't think he's a great value at guard that high. I think the interesting thing will be is that I think there will be offensive linemen and defensive linemen like a Danny Shelton or a Shane Ray, who are very different type of defensive linemen. You know, maybe like Lyle Collins, the offensive tackle from LSU. There'll be 2 or 3, maybe 4, an offensive lineman and defensive lineman at that spot. And then it'll be interesting the Giants, what do they think need versus, you know, real value there? Because, like, quite frankly, they need someone to rush the passer, and they need someone to block. They need a starting offensive lineman. So, you know, that's the interesting decision that they have to make.
Paul, I'm curious, what do you think JPP is going to do this season? You know, last year a lot of people were down on the fact that he had a lot of his sacks in the second half of the year. We know that he's been franchised, hasn't signed his one-year tender yet. But this is a guy who, you know, if he produces like the back of his football card says and he gets a dozen to 15 sacks, obviously the Giants are thrilled. But are there questions in your mind as to what JPP the Giants are going to get this fall?
Well, this is not unlike last year, is it? You know, I mean, he was on a make-good, you know, going into a contract year season, and he was just okay in some respects in the first half of the year. He was pretty good against the run, and then he really came on as a pass rusher, and his numbers ended up looking good. You know, now he's going to make, what, $14 million on this franchise tag if there's no contract extension for him, you know, before or during the season. And so he's got a lot more money, but he's on certainly a make-good deal, either to prove it to the Giants or more likely someone else, that he's a guy you're going to invest, what, $50, $60 million in, you know, the next year. You know, I think JPP, I think we're all waiting for 2011 again. We're all waiting for JPP to be the best player on the field.
And physically he may not be that guy anymore. I don't know.
Yeah, well, and not only that, he was only that guy once. He was only that guy 1 year, showed great flashes as a rookie, and last year for, you know, five or six games, he was tremendous. But he's really only, you know, the back of the baseball card, this is not, you know, Derek Jeter with year after year after year.
Right.
This is the guy who has been great, but not always. And he's been banged up, and he's had a back problem. He's had some shoulder problems. So I don't think – I think – The Giants are doing the smart thing in a lot of ways, is that they're giving them a ton of money. They don't need that money on their cap right now, and let's prove it again this year.
Now, one thing I've been saying, Paul, is because obviously there's been a lot of talk on the show each and every day in regard to the draft, and obviously there will be as we get closer to that first round Thursday night. And there is a chance that either Kevin White or Amari Cooper might still be on the board at 9. And my take has been, I will not have a problem with this organization if they do select one of those wide receivers. Why? We know what we get with Odell Beckham Jr. I'm expecting him to have a much more difficult season this year because I think defenses are going to game plan for him based on his breakout season last year. We have not seen enough consistency from Reuben Randle. And on top of that, we all love Victor Cruz and we want him to come back and be 110%, but there's no guarantee there. I'm not so confident and sure about this wide receiving core as maybe most people are moving forward. I'm curious to get your thoughts. If there's a wide receiver still on the board, do you think the Giants should draft him?
Yes, I do. If that wide receiver at number 9 is the Giants have on their board 3, 4, 5, 6, he is a value staring at them in the face. If they have those guys, I mean, I would imagine they have Cooper ahead, probably in the top 5. Knowing the way that, you know, Jerry Reese and how he grades, maybe even in the top 3. So if you look at those receivers and say, man, at number 9, that's a flag. That's just flashing. I mean, take them, because you can never have enough great players. And you find a place for them. You can use multiple receivers. Your point about Cruz is a very valid one. But if they have one of those receivers left as an 8 and they have a offensive lineman as a 9 or a 10 on their board, if it's that close, I think you go with the offensive lineman because it's a glaring need. But I like your thinking, Anita, is that if they think one of these guys is a star, what's wrong with having 2 or 3 stars on the team at one position?
You know what's funny? Between the two guys, White's a better fit for the Giants than Cooper is. I like Cooper better, but White has
White's
better
bigger.
Over the
yeah,
top.
Bigger.
He's bigger,
yeah.
And he's got more over-the-top speed. To me, I would want him to complement Cruz and Beckham more than I would want Cooper. I just think he would be a better fit for the Giants. If he were to be there instead of Cooper, I'd be more apt to consider him, to be honest with you. Hey, I got another one for you.
Yeah, I can see that.
I got one more for you, Paul. I've been telling people, and Anita knows this because, you know, I talk her ear off all the time about it, top 10 this year, there's going to be a lot of phone calls. I wouldn't be surprised if there were a bunch of trades. – Do you think the Giants will be involved in any deals at all at that number 9 pick? And even if they're not, I think you would probably agree that any deals that are going to be up there will have such a domino effect, it's going to send this whole thing into a tizzy.
Well, we all love these drafts when you have quarterbacks and the intrigue involved with them, and the fact that you cannot say, oh, yeah, the quarterbacks are going to go 1-2 off the board. We all know that. We don't know that. We think one, we, you know, maybe two, maybe three, maybe trade. So, you know, the Giants want the quarterbacks up there. They want them drafted in the first few picks. And, you know, the more quarterbacks, the merrier for the Giants because it knocks everybody else down. Yeah, I could see 9 is a good spot. You know, 9 is a good spot. There will be players that other teams are desperate to get, at that number 9 that will want to trade up for. You know, I could see maybe the Giants trading down a few picks, sure. If they can get an extra pick somewhere. And if they say, you know what, we'll be happy with Scherf, or we'll be happy with Collins, you know, maybe Flowers from Miami. You know, we like Shelton, Shane Ray. If there's three guys and they say, we're happy with any of them, yeah, they'll go down to 11 and get another fifth or sixth round pick. Sure, why not?
Yeah.
It's interesting. A tweet from AJ Marshall 3, who's watching the show. Let's pretend that Scherf is gone. With the 9th pick, do you feel comfortable with the Giants trading down to draft maybe a defensive tackle or a wide receiver? So.
Well, no, I don't think they would trade down to take either of those positions, just because I think they're you know, like we mentioned with the receiver, if the stud is up there, you take them. I don't think you have to trade down to get them. And, you know, defensive tackle, I don't know what you guys think, but, you know, Hankins is a guy on the rise. You know, Kendrick Ellis is a plugger. He's a big guy who can stop the run. You know, I don't think they're so desperate at defensive tackle that they need to take one in the first round.
Yeah, I mean, heck, you know, even Jenkins is still here.
Yes. So, yeah, I think, you know, if they look and see, you know, if they think Danny Shelton is the next, you know, Vince Wilfork, and he's sitting there, and they say, well, you know, this guy's unbelievable, then you take him. But otherwise, you know, because you can rotate those guys in and out, there's no question.
Right.
But otherwise, yeah, you know, I'm not looking. I think they need – what do you guys think? I think they need pass rushers.
Well, I'll tell you something, Paul. You know, I'm really stuck on the O-line. I always believe you build in the trenches. If they were to see a dominant 4-3 defensive end pass rusher there, and Dupree's the only guy that fits the value at 9 – and I'll tell you something, I've watched a lot of tape on him. He's not as potent as a pass rusher as some people are giving him credit for. I think he's a better run stopper, and I think when he gets to this level, I'm concerned about his weight, because I think they got him logged in at 269, but he actually played at about 10 pounds lighter when he was in school last year. So I'm worried about that being fake weight. I don't know that I see a dominant 4-3 defensive end pass rusher in that spot. And as a result, I wouldn't take him.
Yep, you have a lot of guys there. You know, you have the guys who are eye candy. You know, the Shane Rays, the Randy Gregories. You have guys who are barely 235 pounds.
They're tweeners, Paul.
They're tweeners.
They
look like they're shot out of a cannon, and their highlight films are great. But you're right. The Giants don't like guys. The Giants like guys who are big and strong, and then later in their careers they want to lose some weight. That's fine. But yeah, I agree. You know, OCU Manure, you know, lost weight and was smaller by the time he finished with the Giants, but he was not 235 pounds when they drafted him. So, you know, these are maybe 3-4 guys. I agree. You know, they're not perfect fits, and I don't think there's a perfect fit there, and especially in number 9. You know, any really premier, you know, 4-3 defensive end is going to go before 9.
Paul Schwartz joining us. You can find him at the New York Post. Paul, before we let you go, one last question for you. And, again, this is – I'm kind of regurgitating questions that are thrown our way weekly here on Big Blue Kickoff Live, and that is the contracts with, of course, Prince Amukamara, Eli Manning, and it's another one that's –
Well, Prince and Eli are the two a lot of people are talking about.
Yeah, so your thoughts, what are you hearing, what are you feeling, how do you think this all pans out for them and the Giants?
Well, I don't have a big issue with either of them, playing out the contract. I really don't. But Eli is fascinating. It really is. And as much as we can all say, he's going to be the Giant for life, and he's going to be here forever, And you know what? Nothing is forever, with a contract. And without a contract, I just think it's very interesting. They don't have to do something now. I fully get that. They didn't need his money. They didn't feel in free agency to lower that cap number. You know, it was clear the Giants were not going to be big players in this free agent market. They thought it was inflated and not incredibly talented. You know, I don't know if I agree with that. I don't really love their free agent haul, but, you know, that's what they decided, and that's fine if they want to stick to those guns. So they didn't have to do anything with Eli. And, you know, as much as we all can poo-poo it, this is a make good year for Eli also. You know what I mean? This is a team coming off a losing record. Eli played pretty well in a new offense. It's his second year in the offense. He's got Odell Beckham for a whole season and, McAdoo for a whole season. And, you know, if things go sour, there'll be a new head coach in place, and the new head coach may have a different philosophy on the quarterback. So I'm not going out and saying this is, you know, Eli's walking a tightrope here, but a contract's a contract. And if you don't have one, then you don't have a contract. And it'll be very interesting to see when and if. And you know, I could see it him playing it out, you know, before they, you know, I don't know if they want to just, tell the fans, you know what, we got no problem with this. Here's Eli Manning. We're signing him to a $98 million contract. Just may not happen.
Hey, great stuff, Paul. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Paul.
Anytime, guys.
We'll see you around the facility soon, I'm sure.